I love what I do.
Yeah.
If you love what you do, you don't have to work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a statement that you usually say, but when you actually an adult and you're adulting, practicing life, you get to understand it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you don't hate it, you love it, because it's something that you love, it's your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a job anymore, you have fun. So I always have fun.
Hi, welcome to the Creative Bar podcast. This is a podcast where we help you get your full creative potential. So I have been looking for amazing people who are doing amazing things in Tanzania. So today's guest is one very interesting one. It's someone I just met, but realized we have so much in common, meaning that we went to the same school, went to the same university, did the same course, but we didn't know of each other then. She's also doing amazing things, and every single day I get to meet and sit with her, I learn so much from her. And I was like, hey, why can't I share the wisdom with everybody in this podcast? So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Creative Bar podcast. My name is Masha Tisa. I am a designer based in Nairobi, Kenya. And so I'm touring the East African region, and today I'm in Tanzania. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio, Adelaide. We call her Ade. Ade Jachi. Karibu. Welcome to the studio.
Asante sana. Are we supposed to clap?
Hey. Yeah, you're supposed to clap. You see, your intro is really nice. I've really tried.
Oh, really? Thank you so much, Marsha.
Yes, Adelaide, did you like your introduction? I don't want to preempt what you do, because I have a feeling you're doing so many things. So you'll do that for the intro. So welcome so much to the podcast. I'm so glad to be here in Tanzania.
Thank you so much, Marsha.
Yeah.
It's good to have you here as well.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing 9 days today. Yeah. So let's get right into it.
Yes. So I really want to know, if I was to ask you, who is Ade?
Wow. Adelaide is an authentic, unapologetic, but very kind-hearted and very humble lady.
Mm-hmm.
Unapologetic. Humble, kind, and authentic. Those are the words that I will use to describe myself.
Unapologetic, kind, humble, authentic.
Yes.
Awesome. I think I can approve of those words.
Mm-hmm.
The main aim of this podcast is to help people get to their full creative potential.
Yes.
And so we get to interview different creatives who are doing different things, mm-hmm. and ask them, how do you get there? And so the theme of season three, so this is season three,
okay.
and the theme of season three is the art of running.
All right.
When you have this idea of Ade wants to do this, how do you get there? The how? Like what has the journey like been? So let me ask you, I'd call you a creative, but what do you do?
Okay. I'll be very specific. So on a day-to-day, I'm a 2D animator and illustrator. I simply make cartoons. As Masha mentioned, we were in school together, by the way.
Yes.
It's very weird that we never got to know each other,
yeah,
right? It's crazy. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, MMU had like 1,000 students, you know, so it would be like very, the probability of meeting and, you know, would be like very low, except if you were famous or, you know, things like that, of which you were. You were a class rep, right? But still.
No, it's famous.
No, you were a class rep.
Okay.
So you were there, you know? If we'd gone to the HOD department, and, you know, say, oh, do you know Masha? And Mwara or Wanjiru will be like, oh, yeah, from the film and animation department. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I do animation on a day-to-day basis, but I also illustrate a lot because my job depends on my artistic skills.
Mm.
So, yeah, specifically, I'm a 2D animator.
You're a 2D animator. Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting kind of role.
Yes.
Okay. How did you begin, like, have you always been a 2D animator? Like, what's your journey? Take us through your school. Where did you go to school? At what point did you discover that talent?
Okay, so let me say, I'm not from a very rich family, but I was privileged enough to have parents who stood by me and nurtured my talents. So I started drawing when I was just 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad tells me every day.
Yeah, okay.
I took upon the talent, of course. I loved it.
Mm.
He bought me drawing books, whatever he could make it work for me, he did.
Mm.
So, of course, I did the Tanzanian curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
After high school, it was very compulsory for us to go to the NYS. You call it NYS, right?
Okay.
Yes, it was compulsory at the time. I remember it was 2015, Jakaya Kikwete was the president. So he returned that policy. So it's either you go to NYS we'll never go to college. Those were the rules, at least that time.
Yeah.
So I did.
2 years. What are you doing at the NYS?
Not 2 years. No, we never went for 2 years. Oh. We only went for 3 months.
Okay.
Exactly. And simply, it's a program that aims to, you know, empower youth, but at the same time, make them strong to face the world out there. Mm. So you do all these kind of physical activities, jogging, running, and they, luckily enough, they focus on talents.
Mm.
The youth service focuses on talents. So if you had talents like boxing, singing, karate, you know, anything, drawing, painting, they would value. And that's where I got my breakthrough. They discovered that I could paint and draw.
Okay.
Yes, they did. And so they gave me a platform. Mm. I drew all over the campus. I did calligraphy all over. Yes, I did calligraphy all over the campus. I painted painted paintings like the late Mwalimu Nyerere. You know, our leaders, the leaders at the camp. Mm. So it was really interesting. To me, it was fun.
Mm.
But to them, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
It is a big deal.
Yes, exactly. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have fun here.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to work. I went to the NYS camp with like 62 kgs, and I was back with like 64. Exactly. I like my fellow friends and other colleagues at the NYS.
Yeah,
most, exactly. Are we allowed to code mix in this podcast, by the way?
I know too.
Code mix.
Code mix in terms of languages.
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah, sure. So when you walikuwa nakuja ni Wakonde, I like me, I did actually feel it. So it was fun.
Yeah.
And until at that point, I never really knew that I would really get into my, you know, my career with what I have, with my talent.
Mm.
So fast forward when the NYS thing was over, and we all went back home. My dad was like, it's time for you to go to university. You have to get that degree. You have to get to college. And I was like, okay. So the government, usually the Tanzanian system, in the Tanzanian system, they usually do a selection or depending on your high school results. And I was chosen to enroll in a Tumaini University, a media college. And to my surprise, my dad was completely against it. He was like, no. What are you going to do? Journalism? For what? You're not a journalist.
Mm.
And he was like, what you're going to do is a film. It's a course called Film and Animation. It's in Nairobi.
Mm.
I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I just took a plane. The next thing I know, I'm in Rongai.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where it all started.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Fast forward, I'm here.
Yeah, your dad must have been a very woke parent.
Oh, yes. As I said, we're not from a very rich family, but I'm privileged to have a parent who nurtured my talent and gives a shit about it, if I'm allowed to say that. Sorry.
Yeah. So your parent who nurtured your talent, can we still, like, if you go to the NYS, are your work still probably somewhere?
Exactly.
They are.
Yes, they are.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah, you know, I went to the main camp, which is in Kigoma. It's called Bulumbura, but it's a harsh place. I won't lie to you. It's a harsh place. But at the end of the day, it you know, it makes you strong to, you know, face whatever you were supposed to face.
Mm.
Yeah? And it makes you realize, okay, life can be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And life can humble you, you know?
Mm.
Exactly.
Okay. So I really love your journey because sometimes it really gave you foundation and you knew exactly this is what you wanted. So your dad suggested that to you, but was that what you wanted? Did you want animation or it was a suggestion at the time?
At the time, I didn't even really know what animation was.
Okay.
Okay. Until someone else explained it to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally the cartoons that we watch all the time growing up. Powerpuff Girls, Ben 10, you know, and stuff like that. I knew that I loved drawing.
Mm.
I knew that I did. That I knew for sure ever since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
But the film and animation course, I wasn't very sure. I wasn't very precise if it's really something I want.
Yeah.
But when I got to school and entered Wambari's class and Mwara's class, okay, that's when I knew this is my thing.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. So you finished school now. And all of us, when you finish school, one thing I noticed is everybody did different things.
Yeah.
Not necessarily animation. Some of us have not done animation for a while.
Okay.
What was your journey? Like, what happened when you finished school? Were there things you're doing as a creative apart from just studying as a student while you're a student?
Mm. Okay, so I finished school in 2017, but I waited a whole year and graduated in 2018 because I was doing trimester. And you know, trimester, the way it operates.
Yeah.
Do the whole semester, go for 2 weeks holiday and come back to carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was self-sponsored.
Mm.
So finishing school in 2017, I came back. Luckily, I got a job right away.
Oh, okay.
On an NGO.
Mm.
It was good. It was a good experience.
What are you doing at the NGO?
I was a 2D animator in illustration.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was a good experience, but if I can be honest, not very high paying.
Mm.
So it was okay. It was nice. And it was a startup, an NGO, but it was started. So it had donors, but not very many donors that they could accommodate all of us.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying it was not very high paying. So fast forward, I did. I worked there for 2 years, 2018, the whole of 2018, in 2019, where I got a job somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I quit. And in the journey of, you know, shifting jobs, I attend events, workshops, exhibitions. So you meet people, and people refer you to other people. That's how you build your network.
Mm.
I was lucky enough to meet people that opened big doors for me.
Okay.
And that's where my journey of being a consultant started there.
Mm, okay.
I never knew anything about consulting until in between those years, 2019 and 2018. So yeah, I started being a consultant, and it's working for me until right now.
Mm.
I was privileged. I am privileged.
Yeah.
To be working with some of the biggest organizations, some that I won't even disclose.
Mm.
And at the same time, I'm working.
Mm.
You know, for like a day five. We do a 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And it's an advantage for me because with the COVID crisis and whatnot, you can work remotely.
Yeah.
So I'm juggling in between jobs. And it's working for me because I love a routine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an 8 to 5 job consulting for so many different companies, which is a very good balance.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can really speak about this, and it really speaks about you. Someone can really learn so much from you, like getting that balance. You know, you're doing so many things. How do you do so many things and not break down? Yes. Because, you know, like, especially as a creative, you know, all those jobs you're doing are creative pieces.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do all those creative pieces and do them so well and not necessarily break down or burn out and give every client the satisfaction they need?
Okay. First, I'm not going to say it's perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's never perfect. You know, clients are always going back and forth. Not all projects are perfect. There are always challenges. And on either the client side or my side or the technical side or the retainer payment, something, you know. But most of the time, it's good. So how do I do it? First, I think you have to be passionate. I love drawing. I can draw in my sleep. I love what I do.
Yeah.
If you love what you do, you don't have to work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a statement that we usually say, but when you actually an adult and you're adulting, practicing life, you get to understand it individually.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you don't hate it. You love it because it's something that you love. It's your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a job anymore. You have fun. So I always have fun. I always try to have fun. The challenges always comes maybe to the clients, you know, and things like that. But the actual job, I love doing it. I can do it 10 times. I can do it 100 times.
Mm-hmm. Because now the balance, which is really like a bigger challenge for many people. So Lona, let's talk about, because now you are doing so many things. It also speaks about the fact that, and you also mentioned even the consulting idea you got from your mini exhibitions. So let's talk to you about putting yourself out there, because there are many people who are creative. Of course, they have talents, but just probably in their studios or in their houses, just trying to paint one thing, but they don't get the exposure. How have you been able to navigate it so well?
I would say one thing. We are millennials. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is as well.
Yeah.
One thing we ignore, I would say, is networking. I would say networking is the most important asset a millennial would have.
Mm.
And bad enough, not many of us take it seriously.
Yeah.
Because, again, another saying that they usually say, but when you're adult, it comes to, it hits you, it's true. Your network is your net worth.
It's true.
Honey.
Yeah.
Let's go back and forth, but at the end of the day, that's the bottom line, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
So you cannot lock yourself in a room like a sanctuary, like it's your sanctuary. No, you must go out there because most lifelong relationships happen when you meet some people out there physically. You understand?
Mm.
Another way, going to exhibitions, going to events, creative events, creative workshop, apply for those workshops.
Mm.
Okay, that's the only way you're going to meet people. Here am I, me and you.
Yeah, we're here. Met with on a workshop.
On a workshop, yes. Exactly. Every day in the morning, go to your laptop in your locked room or your sanctuary. Google, call for funds, call for proposals, call for workshops, apply. Even if you don't meet the criteria,
just apply. You never know.
Exactly.
It's true.
Especially women.
Yeah.
Research is all data, statistics show that if you put men and women, most men go for these opportunities. Even though they know they're not eligible for the criteria, they still apply. And most of the times they get these jobs.
Yes.
What's wrong with us? So just go out there, put yourself out there because no one is going to follow you.
It's true.
So that's all.
Yeah. Put yourself out there because no one really can follow you. You have to, especially for women, try as much as possible to do as much. Let it be when someone is thinking of something, oh, but they remember Masha does this. Or I remember Adelaide, Adi does this. So they always are contact.
Exactly. And I'd say social media has played a huge role on my career because I just usually post stuff. But little did I know that people see the stuff. People see stuff on Instagram, people see stuff on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
People see stuff, I don't know where you post them. You know, people see this stuff. So it might look like you're not making any impact, but people are watching, that's for sure.
Yeah. People are watching. So when I followed you, I noticed the reason why. So season three, like I mentioned, is season of running with your vision. So I'd ask you, that's for Ade, what's the vision?
Okay. My vision will be expanding what I have. It's bigger than this. I always tell you, we talk from time to time at night, and we laugh so hard. The other girls, we're always waking them up. But I always tell you, we always talk about it, and I tell you, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than all of us. I would love to, like 10 years fast forward or 20 years later, to have developed an organization with women who are better than me right now. You understand? It's not about me.
Yeah.
We're bigger than this. You understand? Trust me, there are so many people out there with talents, but no guidance, no money, no creative help, whatever.
Yeah.
However, and they're struggling. It's not like they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But they have all these other challenges that deprive their talents. So I would love to be the person that would help these people with the right guidance, with the right help, the finances, or whatever they need to nurture their talents and be even bigger than what I am. That would be my vision.
I get it. Because when I see someone speak of their vision, you speak about your vision with so much certainty. Let me ask, have you always been like this? Have you always just known what you wanted and things work in your favor? You look like someone who you've just been meeting. How have you been struggling? What has your struggle been?
Okay, wow.
Like, at what point, let's just speak about, like, you can take us before.
Yeah, sure.
What happened that you discovered this? Am I, you've always known this? You're just continuing, you know?
No. Yeah. And Masha, I know you're asking me these questions very purposely because it's a topic that we've talked about it.
Yeah.
So for me, it started when I was discovering myself as a person in my spiritual journey. And I believe that if you believe in something, it always works out in your favor.
Yeah.
It's a very simple formula, but very hard to apply, and it takes time because it's not easy. You have to understand that you're bigger. It's not about you. It's bigger than your soul.
Yeah.
You understand? And so when I finally realized that, hey, I'm awakened, I'm enlightened, it all became very easy. Whatever I could manifest just comes to me.
It comes to you.
Just comes to me like that. And I knew for sure that this is what I want to do
this
in the future.
This is what you want to do? Okay.
And nothing is going to stop me.
So I really like what you said. Let's just give like dates of rather. How long ago was that awakening period? Was it during campus, after campus?
Definitely after campus.
It was after campus.
It was after campus, and definitely not after the 2 years that I've been working.
Okay.
I think I've been awakened maybe 3 years or four now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's speak to someone now who wants to be awakened. Because a lot of the time, I speak to you because I can always tell, you're in a different journey that I can relate to. The way you understand yourself so much. Because especially with millennials, we're all millennials. Like, everybody has this thing of being amazing things. The other day, someone was telling me, I can imagine me, I'm just 29 years old. I still don't know what I want to do with life. You know, everybody is in that stage. And not everybody has some level of clarity like the way you have. So what can you speak about that, like, from your perspective, to this person who's listening and has no clarity of some sort? What advice would you have for such a person? What can they do? Honestly, they're willing. We want to be clear, but I'm like,
we've talked about this, Masha, and I already told you it's not about guiding someone like you in class, do this.
Yeah.
As I said, it's a self-discovery journey.
Yeah.
And you do not, it's not like a lesson to teach someone.
Mm.
Someone has to discover themselves. So either maybe their curiosity to go and research, you know, and things like that. Because it's very controversial.
You know,
it interferes with religious matters and things like that. So I really can't say there is a formula.
There's no formula.
There is no formula in this.
Mm.
There is no formula.
Mm. There's something you said about, like, always, you see that thing that you think or that curiosity, you follow it. For example, like, if someone tells you, hey, Masha, you have a nice voice, you can do a podcast, follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as you follow those things, little things, for some reason, as you continue, you sort of find some clarity. So there's an advice I got from someone, and I think it really works, and I think that's what we did, all of us did, in terms of subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
You only get clarity when you engage.
Exactly.
Like, yes, you can draw. Oh, you can draw. Okay, we need someone who can paint. Oh, it's okay. Let me just draw. It's not that you knew that was what you're going to do, but it's okay. Just engage.
Yeah.
So as you constantly keep engaging for some reason, yeah, you get some clarity.
Exactly.
So I really relate with that story.
Yeah. Follow intuition. Whatever your gut tells you to do, do it. The other day I told you about a gig that I was supposed to do, and I didn't know how to do
it.
I didn't even know an idea, because I never do those. It's a profession, yes.
A live doodling experience. Yeah.
I had never done it.
Must have been the first one in Tanzania, was it?
I haven't seen another.
Yeah.
I haven't seen another. But it was an event called the Tatamasha Festival.
Uh-huh.
It's a very famous company. A very good, legit, you know, sophisticated company.
Are they?
No, really. I'm not even bragging.
Yeah.
So I have a friend I call her Super Dada, Otuna Nana. Very nice lady. Very giving. That's why they say the law of attraction, you give and you'll be given
you
it
receive,
multiple.
Yeah.
Given you receive and you receive multiplication of what you give. So she reached out and I was like, Ade, I know you can do this. I was like, Dada, I've never done it. She was like, You can do it. I know, I can feel it.
Yeah.
Otherwise I would have never reached out to you.
Yeah.
Cause the guy that wants the doodler trusts me,
yeah,
and I trust you for sure. So follow your gut and go do it.
Mm.
It was amazing. I wanted to do it again and again and again and again.
I saw the doodles; they're really nice.
Yeah, they're really nice. I love them.
I love doodles.
Yeah, you do.
So you had to really embrace your fears.
Exactly.
So that means also, like, even sometimes when you know what you want, there's only that element of self-doubt.
Exactly.
So how have you dealt with self-doubt, apart from just, like, facing, what are some of the tips you can give for someone who's experiencing self-doubt? Because just because you are a good illustrator, some projects you're given are like, hey, this is a bit bigger than me. So how do you navigate that?
I always think there is no end to learning.
Mm.
So most of the time when I'm stuck, I always learn, I always ask for assistance. I always collaborate with people to solve the problem, because you can't do everything.
Yeah.
But most importantly, most of the time, and it works for me, my gut is very strong.
Yeah, okay.
I just listen to what my heart tells me.
And
if it's not right, I won't do it.
You wouldn't do it.
And if it feels right, I'm definitely doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about, again, playing your intuition and, you know, you'll get there.
So, like, in your journey, because now we said you're talking about the art of running, and you've already been clear about, like, what your vision really is.
Mm.
So you're definitely on a journey to achieving that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not achieved. You have no idea a lot of the times how to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the biggest lesson you have heard, or you've learned, or some of the lessons you've learned as you run with this vision, like, as you try to achieve this thing you're trying to achieve that is bigger than you?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the lessons you're learning on that route?
Okay. The biggest lesson I've ever learned is just be humble.
Mm. Okay.
Like, by being humble, people will not only respect you, but the universe will return multiplications of what you are. It might seem very simple, but I think to me that's the very biggest lesson. Just nyenyekea. Jifanye mjinga. It's okay. It's very okay. Like, do not boast, be kind, give. Another biggest lesson I've learned is give.
Yeah.
Please give. Do not worry about yourself, because you will receive. Just give. And by giving, I mean help.
Mm.
If someone asks for assistance, do not be selfish to assist them.
Mm.
Give out as much as you can,
even
materialistically. Just give.
Yeah.
If anything doesn't happen in your favor, you wanted something so bad and it didn't happen, it's okay, relax. The universe probably is telling you, is showing you a better way than what you are fighting for
right
now. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, be humble, but mostly just be humble. Jifanye mjinga, trust me. Yani just jifanye mjinga. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be a giver. And even when you talk about giving, when you're breaking it down even for a creative, it's not being selfish with opportunities.
Like, thank you.
When I get an opportunity of there's a job somewhere and I know Ade, I can't illustrate at the time, but I know Ade can do it. But I won't give you the job.
Imagine.
That's being selfish.
Imagine.
Or I won't want to other people to get an opportunity. So by giving your meaning, giving of your skills.
Exactly. Or opportunities. You can see at the group there, the Malaysia Voices. I try to, whatever I can.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's relatable or not. Mm. But just give, you never know. Even if the person that it's intended for is not in the group, maybe someone will
fund. Someone else will fund, yeah.
Exactly.
And you actually give satisfaction on another level. That's a very good lesson. Because you see, even before you achieve that vision you want to achieve, you don't know, but like the opportunity you just got, that life doodling experience, it's your friend who referred you. That's
imagine.
Actually giving. She would have, you know, it would have been someone else who's like, hey, me, I want someone else to do it because she'll pay me something. But it's someone who's just literally just giving an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And she's given you an experience of your life, something you're like, hey, I can't believe I can
she
do
She even
it.
Awarded me this for opportunity for the Ledima Foundation thing.
Nice. Oh, okay. So constantly give. I really like what you're learning from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have talked about your work as an employee, you're working as an employee. So let's talk about now the animator or the illustrator.
Don't worry.
So let's talk about the technicalities of this job.
My favorite part.
And the technicalities of this job.
Yeah.
Like, how do illustrators work? Like, you know, what advice would you have for an illustrator? Like, what's the opportunity in illustration? What are the growth opportunities? What did you do? You know, just speak about this particular skill because this is where you are at.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started, the best advice I would give to an illustrator listening to this is practice.
Mm-hmm.
Practice as much as you can. That's the only way you're going to grow your skills.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to take a portfolio if your work is shitty. So, number one, practice. Practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, how did I get there as an illustrator? Again, referrals, networks, mm-hmm. you know, exhibitions. I have done in my life exhibitions, maybe like 3 or 4 exhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
But people come to see your work, you know, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, wow, nice, you know. And also, apply for tenders. I didn't know myself, but these opportunities are out there. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Even for illustrators.
Yes.
Okay.
Go every day in Google. Yeah. One type call for illustrators.
Okay.
Results will come in. NGOs, organizations, different organizations and facilities asking, looking for illustrators to do their work, either for a book project, their manuals and laying out and formatting, or illustrator work they're associated with graphic design, because most jobs these days come as a package.
Yeah.
So if you're an illustrator, you must know a little bit of web design or video editing skills and things like that.
Yeah.
You can always do all sorts of courses to improve your craft.
Mm.
So look for this opportunity. Call for illustrators. When I didn't have money, when I was broke as hell, I used to go online, search for NGOs, or any private company that seems approachable, take their phone number, call, make an appointment. Be bold. Go there. Opportunities.
Unapologetic.
They won't come to you.
Yeah.
They will not come to you. Mm. Trust me. Make that call. Make that appointment. Go and see them. Even if you're giving them your work for free.
Yeah.
Give them. Because you know that they'll call you someday, even if it's not tomorrow or next year. But they'll find you one day.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself out there, make your showreel, have a nice portfolio, give them your work. Can I have your time? Can I have like 10 minutes of your time? Also, pitch, be out there, be presentable, do your pitching skills. So that's even if you have like 5 minutes with someone on the elevator, you can do an elevator pitch, you know, because these people are always busy and whatnot. So things like that, really, opportunities are out there.
Yeah.
We just have to grab them.
It's true. Opportunities are out there. We just have to grab them. I agree. We just have to grab those opportunities. And I really want to commend you for the hard work you do. You can, like, you're putting yourself out there. You know, you're doing, and that's actually how you're pushing yourself out there. I know you've worked with creatives. You've been around creatives. Let's now speak to creatives. We've just been speaking with creatives. But what are some of the common pitfalls you've seen that creatives fall into? What are some of these things you've seen creatives do? They're like, hey, anyway, what are some of these things you've noticed that should be worked on?
I think you have to, apart from being sure of what you want to do and what you're doing, I think there is patience. Because nothing just comes overnight. Rome wasn't built
in one day. Patient, we want money.
Exactly. You have to be patient. I know sometimes it comes as with frustrations.
Yeah.
You know, depression perhaps, you know. No support from your family or friends because they probably don't understand what you're doing, you know. Family, or maybe your family probably needs like rent, bills and stuff like that, so they probably don't understand you. So I would say patience first, apart from being certain of what you're doing and what you want to do, because you have to believe in yourself. If you don't, nobody will. It has to start with you. So apart from that, please be patient, because good things take time. Yes,
good things take
time. So you would find a creative, yes, they're good, but they're not very patient enough. So maybe he's like, this is not working out, let me do something else, you know. No, stick to your craft, because one day it's going to pay off. Exactly. If you're just bold and putting yourself out there, it's definitely going to work in one way or another.
In one way or another, it's going to work. There's something also spoken about, like sometimes you'd even give your work for benefits for free, you know, and that's one who's, hey, make and do things for free. Of course, there's a limit. What can you say about that? That whole free work. What's the boundary? What do you mean by that?
Okay.
What are you telling people?
Okay, I'm not telling people to give everyone their free work. But there are those clients, you know, top-notch clients that you know it's definitely going to pay off.
Yeah.
Because I'll say myself, I haven't gone to every office and say, hey, tech. No. I'll just go to, if I have a meeting,
strategic.
I'll make sure, strategic. Have your business card, you know, professionally, you know. Have a website, have a portfolio, put in your business card and things like that. But to the clients that you think it's worth giving, for example, give your work.
Of your services as well also.
Oh, your services, give your work. If there is a place you need to volunteer, volunteer. Because it will pay off sometime.
Yeah. And there's someone who's watching.
Exactly.
So it still goes back to the lesson you're learning from this journey of achieving your vision is be a giver. You can give of yourself. You can give of your skills. There's so many things. There are different ways on how you can give.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm really inspired by your story, Ade.
Me too.
So I just wonder, what kind of books do you read? What are you reading currently? What do you watch? You know, if I want to be a day in the life of Ade. What does it look like?
First, I read almost everything. I used to read novels back in the day, but that was in high school. When I reached college, I started reading millennial books. And right now I'm reading this book. It's called The Three-Box Solution, A Strategy for Leading Innovation. And I'm reading this specifically because we had talked with you, Marsha, and you know I'm pursuing my master's in project management.
Yeah.
It's my dream to start an NGO,
you
see, to help others get to where I am today. So this is relevant to what I'm reading right now. And it's a very good book for startups and companies and, you know, NGOs that are just getting started with what they're doing. So yeah, I try to read very many millennial books because they reflect with my life. They reflect with what's happening in the world. They reflect with people that I meet. They reflect our working environment and things like that. So they help me be rational and make a better decision.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So are there any other books you'd want to recommend people to read? If you have books for finding it. 5 a.m. Club,
The Startup Nania.
Lean Startup?
Sorry? Yeah, the Lean Startup. Oh, you know that?
Yeah.
The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah.
The Love Attraction. The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. Those are spiritual books. And many, many, many. I have a list.
You have a list. Those are very good suggestions. Yeah. So you've talked about so many things, and now I'm really inspired by your journey. I think the whole point is just, you know what, just take yourself out there. As a person, what has been your struggle as a creative person? I know, especially right now, of course, you're getting inspired and everything else, those days are like, hey, me, people see me like, hey, me, that those days I'm like, I just don't have it.
It's true.
What are some of those things you struggled as a creative, and maybe you're still struggling with it, that you'd want to highlight?
Number one, I'd say procrastination. That's my biggest. Yeah, if you go to my Instagram page on the down post, you'd even see an animation I did about procrastination. It's about a guy boxing, you know, but the thing that he's boxing or he's fighting with, that I labeled it as procrastination, and it's a representation of me fighting my procrastination. So I'd say yes, procrastination. I procrastinate sometimes because, you know, I'm juggling around things, you know. So sometimes you'd say, I didn't even put alarms, 4 or 5 alarms, you know. Yeah, I know you're right, but it's true. You know, I struggle sometimes. Yeah, it's sometimes a struggle. When I'm in my best mood and it's my best day, woo, I burn the midnight oil.
Yeah.
And I love burning the midnight oil as well, as long as I get the work done. Another thing that I'd say is very toxic, shamelessly, in our country, is gender violence. I'm not saying I was hit or physically abused, but just some toxic environment you find yourself into because of the hierarchy on a workplace that you are you are there right now. I won't name the company or the organization, but I happened to be working on an environment that was toxic. You know, I was working with my supervisor, of course, and my other colleagues, and like my supervisor, like, I'm not crazy, I'm not a bad person. You know things and you see things, even if people deny. My supervisor wanted to initiate a sexual relationship with me.
Mm.
Of course, I said no.
Yeah.
Of course. And after I said no, the next day I resigned. You know, I hadn't planned to resign. I hadn't planned at all.
Mm.
But already it's a toxic environment for me. Like, so you're my supervisor. We're supposed to be working. You're like my colleague. You're not supposed to, like, kind of ask me out, you know? Mm. So things like that, you understand? That's why, but there are challenges, and that's why we should never give up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm unapologetic. I'm a woman and I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't want to be a man. So, this is me working, and those are your thoughts. They're not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I shouldn't feel bad. They're your thoughts. So keep pushing. Okay. Be bold, be out there, be unapologetic. Just be you.
Mm. Just be you.
Mm-hmm.
Be bold, be unapologetic, just be you. So this whole procrastination thing, I think it's a struggle of most people.
Yeah.
It's just learning. I also struggle with procrastination sometimes, but I'm just there, like, you know, it's okay. And also, just sometimes when I procrastinate, I just forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you always have that struggle. Yes, you want to get something done. You're not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to forgive myself. If I do it, well, if I don't do it, I just, like, kind of, like, sometimes force myself to do stuff.
Mm.
But it's really nice to at least know that from a human perspective, you also have challenges.
Absolutely.
You know, you're having challenges.
Absolutely.
And whatever happens, let nothing take you away from achieving whatever it is you want to do.
Don't let anything dull your shine, honey.
This is life.
Because you're meant for this.
Yeah.
You're meant for this and you're born for this, and nobody can take that away from you. That's the beauty of talent.
Yeah.
Nobody can cut your hands and take them away. So that you're not able to do again, it's in you. It's
your skill. They're the skill. You really have to really work so hard on improving your skill.
Exactly.
So even as you complete this podcast, I've had so many people speak of imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just feel like you're a fraud. You know, you just don't feel you're deserving.
Mm-hmm.
People tell you, you're doing so well, Masha. I'm not all it. I'm not the best illustrator. Yes, you're a talent dude. Me, I can't do that, you know.
It's true.
What instances in your life have you had of an imposter syndrome? And what advice would you have for someone, and a creative or a woman, whatever?
On many instances it happens to me, especially when I'm out there talking to people, because you meet people that are on a different level. Look at our facilitator. Look at our facilitator. We're both having imposter syndromes in this 10-day workshop. Because someone is out there, you know, building their empires. And you're like, what am I doing in my life?
What was I doing though?
Exactly. Where have I been?
What am I serious with
life? Exactly. Am I serious with life, you know? When you go out there in exhibitions, events, you know, meetings, you know, you meet people and people are doing their thing.
Yeah.
They are doing their thing. But what's funny though, when you exchange contacts and Instagram pages and LinkedIn pages, someone will be like, what? This is your work? And you're saying you can't do anything? So I think it's the that feeling that you're used to doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And you're locked in a sanctuary. You think, ah, this is nothing. Like, I've seen more and I want to be more. So I think, as you say, you mentioned forgiving yourself, but also self-appreciating yourself.
Yeah.
Give credit to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
You're not badly off.
You're not badly off.
You're doing well.
Give credit to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be too harsh on yourself.
It's true.
Exactly.
Comparison monster as well.
Exactly. But comparison monster as well. Relax.
You're on a different journey.
Exactly. Exactly. So simply it's that.
Yeah.
But the imposter syndrome, I come and all the time, honey. When you're out there and you say,
You think you're it until you find.
Imagine.
You're there thinking,
imagine.
Natesa Tanzania, and then you find people.
People.
Exposure is good.
People are paid with terms of reference on a specific contract, on a specific amount of days.
Still doing the same job as an illustrator.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Someone will be like, how much do you charge per day? Oh, like $500. Oh, like $800 per day.
Like,
Really? And they get jobs, yeah, you know, from institutions and different organizations.
Yeah.
So things are possible. So don't be too harsh on yourself.
Mm.
Give credit to yourself. Because you're good.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you so much for doing this interview. Now, thank I want you so to much. Speak to the person who's listening.
Yes.
Person who has a vision. We sort of, in a way, have had our own journeys. We now have something we want to achieve. So we are trying to battle the imposter syndrome. We're trying to learn our skills. We're trying to just do something. And you know, nowadays with millennials, there are so many cases of people committing suicide and mental health issues because someone is like, hey, me, I'm 32. I'm like, and there's nothing, I don't find any fulfillment in my life. Mm. You know, things are just not working out. Yes, I have a talent. I have everything. They're here. Okay, but are they not working out? Yes, I have a vision, but a vision is useless sometimes when there's no money and the landlord is
knocking. Oh, senior ideas, think of my landlord.
So my question would be, what advice do you have for this person?
This podcast is a very much example or a very much something that should calm you down.
Mm.
Don't think that you're alone. That's rest.
Mm.
Don't think that you're alone. There are loads of people going through what you're going through.
You don't voice it.
Yeah, you don't voice it. And not everybody can come and tell you their experience. So everybody will keep it butterflies and flowers. Mm. Oh, yeah, I graduated.
I'm doing this.
But honey.
I'm winning.
Honey, that's not, they won't tell you the bad side of the story. It's just like social media.
Mm.
No one on social media will post their downfalls. Everybody is going to put their winnings. So the same applies to this. Just calm down. You're not alone. There are people going through this.
They're going through worse.
Yeah, even worse than what you're going through. So keep calm. Set your goals. Try to achieve them. I know it's not easy. It's hard, actually, you know. But we are here. We are all here. We have been there. And some of us are still going through it.
Yeah, beaten.
Exactly. So it will be it. Set your goals. Calm down. Don't hurry or don't be pressured. As in, don't be pressured at all. There is no honor in being pressured.
It's true.
Hey.
Yeah.
There is no honor. Just relax. Set your goals and try to achieve them slowly. Mm-hmm. And a goal, it can't be necessarily a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Even small goal, saying that today I won't procrastinate, I'll do from 1 to from 10.
Yeah.
If you achieve it. Yeah, that's it. To me,
enough Netflix.
Progress matters. It's not about finishing on the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
It's about progress.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there is progress, that's good.
A win.
Exactly, it's a win.
As long as there's progress, there's a win, so don't be too hard on yourself. Because we really are too hard on ourselves.
Mm.
Until you sit with someone, you're like, oh, so you're also struggling like me.
Imagine.
Me, I've met people I really admire, and they're like, even me, I'm struggling. Honey, even you struggle. Yeah, all of us are struggling. So also be kind to yourself. Thank you so much, Ade, for being here.
Thank you so much.
So is there any last advice maybe that you may have left out? Just one thing you don't pull to hear. No, this is random. Can we have any topic? What's that one thing you want people to know?
Just spread love. Be in harmony. It's very hard keeping up with this lifestyle because some people will just, you know, throw bad comments like you have one day, Masha. But it's okay. It's really fine. Just be happy.
Yeah.
Be happy. Be harmonious because the universe will return that happiness.
Mm.
Try as much as you can. Don't spread hate. Spread love.
Mm.
Love one another. Help when you can.
Yeah.
Today, Babu was sick, by the way. And he said, Babu is for those listening, Babu is our driver on this 10-day workshop. He's very funny. They like him. He was like, my daughter, I am sick, I have malaria, can you buy for me juice? You know, just spread love. You never know who you're going to meet. Maybe I'm going to marry my Babu's son one day, Babu's rich son one
Amen.
day. How can I know? Amen. Spread love. Be in harmony. Be happy, but most of all, be unapologetic, honey. And be humble.
Thank you so much, Ade.
Thank
we've
you
been
too,
listening
babe.
To Adlie Jachi, illustrator and animator from Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing amazing things. So thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, comments or suggestions, you can do that on our social media platforms. You can do that on the podcast as well. So thank you so much. You can follow us on Instagram at The Creative Bug Podcast. We also have an email. Send us an email at creativebugpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for being good listeners. This is season 3 of The Creative Bug Podcast. I have been your host. My name is Masha Tissa, and this podcast will help you get your full creative potential. I hope that you're inspired and that you'll discover yourself and get your full creative potential. Do have yourself an amazing evening, an amazing morning, an amazing day, depending on what time you listen to this podcast.
And also, I know Masha won't mention this, so here are my social media.
Sorry.
bad friend. My social medias are Adela Jetty on LinkedIn and Adi Droz on Instagram. Follow me. I'll follow you back. I love you.
Mwah. Yeah. So follow Adelaide on social media and Instagram on all her channels. She's doing amazing jobs. If you have a job for her, please do that for her.
please
give her a job. She's open. She's very fast. She's efficient. Ooh. Yes. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Masha Tisa, and this is the Creative Bulb Podcast.
Oh, goddamn. You killed it, babe.